broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Well, welcome to another episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen.
Yeah, baby.
Woo! And I should say, the attorney of the month on the cover of the Attorney Magazine, Greater Phoenix Area.
Yeah, Attorney at Law Magazine, that's right. The cover model, if you want to call it that. I mean, I'm looking pretty dapper on it. I got my best suit on.
Yeah. Now, for those of you that have been following the Hooters International pageant, this is not what you're going to get. This is Attorney at Law Magazine. Matt is the cover and centerfold. May I say he looks great in that Brooks Brothers. So
Hugo Boss. I mean, let's get it straight. Hugo Boss.
Yeah. There you go. Matt's a little younger. Yeah, it's true. Brooks Brothers, you're not there yet.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm not distinguished enough for Brooks Brothers yet. Or Tommy Bahama's on the weekend. Okay, I'm not wearing Tommy Bahama stuff.
Yeah, there's a point in your life where you get a credit card for Brooks Brothers and Tommy Bahama's, and you just make the leap, you know?
Then it's AARP, and it's just downhill from there, man.
I'm getting close to that, so I got to watch out. I'm trying to look young and crisp and cutting edge. See, that's why I have Matt as my partner, so I can be, you know, getting that influence from the younger generation. This is good.
Yeah. So, hey, whatever I can do to, you know, to improve your life, man, I'm here for you.
Well, welcome everybody to the resource for your tax and legal information. For a small business owner, those trying to build wealth, buy rental properties, bring it all together. Hey, we're right alongside of you as entrepreneurs ourselves, trying to do the same thing with our families and our loved ones and the things we love to do. And we're consultant clients every day around the country in our law firm and accounting firm, KKOS Lawyers and K&E CPAs. And man, we're just trying to do it. And we love this hour every week we have with you to be on the Refresh Your Wealth show. And we've got a great topic today. Do you want to introduce the topic, Matt?
Yeah, we're going to talk about how to properly screen tenants for your rental properties. As many of you know, and I think a lot of our clients are either in real estate as a full-time business, or a lot of clients are maybe business owners or entrepreneurs in other fields and have rental properties on the side, or, you know, wherever you fall in this, real estate is a great way to build wealth, and rental properties have been a tried and true method. And Mark and I both own rentals ourselves. So, we see this from the side of an investor. Also, as your lawyer and CPA, we got some points we think are critical. We'll try and chime in on those. But we're going to bring in some special guests at the bottom of the show here who really, you know, have a business solely built on helping landlords screen tenants for their property. And I think on this topic, I just want to say this as an introductory point before we even get into it, is when you find a rental property, I think it's so funny. I see clients, they spend so much time getting the right rental property, and then they lease it to the first tenant they come across. And they don't even like spend the same amount of care and time looking at that person. You should be analyzing your tenants in the same way you're analyzing your property. Because you know what? That tenant sends you a check every month, or they don't. You know, and so
they either take care of your property, or they don't.
Exactly. So it's obviously critical, and we'll be getting into that. Any of you who have been landlords, you know the importance of this subject. So we're going to try and give you some tips and strategies, and we got some experts coming on at the bottom half of the show.
Yeah, I love it. And Matt, you definitely kicked it off with one of our main tips. And I don't know if we have a list today. We try to do lists when we can, but that certainly is number one. I like that. Take the same care. I'm going to write it down right now, Matt. That was good. Take the same care of finding the property to finding the right tenant. Same care. That's a good same care. There, that's tip number one. Boom.
Yeah.
Like it. Just right there. Two words.
I like that. See, we're already throwing this stuff off. Yes. You didn't even know it yet. You've learned something already.
Yeah. That's
in between the Brooks Brothers jokes and Mark throwing out the Hooters International pageant. I don't know what that was. It's just in the back of my mind still.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it is. I've just thrown off most of our listeners, or I've totally alienated the other half of our listeners. So it was a bad one. But no, when you log into your computer in the morning and Yahoo.com and all the feeds start coming through, you know that we try to be on the cutting edge. We watch the news, TMZ. Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes you run across this inadvertently. I mean, however it gets to you. I mean, I don't know.
However inadvertently it was, it's news. Because apparently if it's on, you know, Yahoo News, then it's news.
I guess so, you know.
In this crazy world we live in. Okay, well, let's get on to our regular tax and legal tip every week. And Matt, I don't know who was first last week. You make the call right now. I'm ready to go, or I can bat number two on the lineup.
Let's have you go. Let's have you go first.
All right, I'm going to throw out.
You're lead off hitter.
This is a stretch for a tax tip, but let's play the jingle because it is a sweet guitar riff.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Now, I did make a little reference to a baseball analogy saying I would bat number two, and because of the World Series, also in the news, Matt, if you weren't aware, if you've got your head in the sand.
I've heard that. Okay. Not a baseball fan much anymore, but I have heard. Is it Yankees and Astros?
Oh, my gosh.
No, Astros and Dodgers, right?
See, that's what we're dealing with here. Please, just alienated our audience again.
Okay. It's the Bears and the Maple Leafs.
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe the Wizards are in there. I don't know.
Yeah. So okay. I want to go with kind of a continue this baseball analogy on my tax tip. Now, please let me – give me some little leeway here, if you will, Your Honor, with my – cross-examination as I try to tell you where this tip's coming from. See, when Matt and I get on the phone with a lot of clients, many of you that are listeners have maybe used our office for a consult, it's not just about looking at your tax return. It's not just about drafting an LLC or a corp and looking at your operating agreement or bylaws. We get on the phone and we really talk about your life. What are your plans and how's it going? And oh my gosh, you might get divorced or my kid's in rehab or my business is failing or my accounts receivable is off the chart. Everybody has problems. Let me repeat that. Everybody's got problems. The trick to life is learning how to manage those problems and just get through this life, learning what you can and taking that experience and learning from it. And so when we're on the phone with you, we're going to talk about that kind of stuff. And so many of our clients that call up are looking to really build their business, and it might be tax driven, but we're going to talk about building your American dream. And so my tip today, even though it's not dollars and cents tax return related, I wanted to talk about hitting base hits and not always swinging for the home run. Now, let me explain.
I see where you're setting that World Series thing up at the beginning there. Now I see where you're heading here. Okay.
Yeah, I was setting that up. So, and there's one other example here on, and I'm sorry, sometimes these examples really drive it home. But first, why I say base hits rather than home run is a lot of clients that we talk to on the phone are starting their business and they're going for that huge client. They're going for the big sale, or they just quit their job and they threw everything into this small business idea. And I'm like, whoa. Swinging for the stars, you know, here. And I don't say that to make them feel bad on the phone, but a lot of times in my gut, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're taking a lot of risk here. You know, they're putting a lot into that one swing. And so in a nice way, I'll tell clients a lot of times, hey, let's hit some base hits. Just make a few sales, test out the product. You don't have to make $1 million the first year. You don't have to, you know, completely quit your day job, have a safety net, have some security to fall back on before you try to make this huge leap. Let's not go out and buy 10 rental properties your first year as a rental investor. Let's buy one or two, cut your teeth on it. You're going to screw up. Mm-hmm. You already know you are. We all do. So don't screw up on 10.
Yeah.
Let's up on one or two, you know? Let's set up our screws for, you know, let's not overdo it. And so one last example on this was funny. I get to drive my teenage daughter to school every day. I love it. And I drop her off right around 8, so I get right to work after thereafter, and I love it. It's good for my timing, and I love to have that time with her in the car. And I drive down the, kind of a hill. It's kind of a slopey hill most of the way to the junior high. And the other day it was sad, but it was funny. I'm sorry. It was one of those times. And you get to see these regular kids that walk to school on the route, you know, like kids coming out of these doors, and you kind of get to know these tall ones and short ones and these little girls that are in packs, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm like, do we stop and pick up along the way? It's very political.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm riding along with my daughter in the car, and this is one of these colder mornings. It's the fall, and there was some dew and a little frost on the sidewalk. And one of these kids, and I know the kid because I see him on a regular basis with a backpack. He's a little tall, awkward age. I was there. He's kind of that 12, 13-year-old awkward age. He comes busting out of his front door. He's obviously late. Turns to the corner and starts running down the sidewalk. And I'm like, oh no, this is not looking good. Because I was driving a little bit. And I knew how slippery the roads or sidewalk was from this early morning freeze. And I was like, this is going nowhere good real fast. Mm-hmm. So he comes blazing. Even my daughter kind of looked up like, huh, that's interesting. He's just running. And sure enough, in about 50 feet, whoosh, this guy totally face plants. I feel bad. I mean, he was just like gush, 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 down the sidewalk. He was in a full run. I felt so bad. I kind of pulled over to make sure he was embarrassed because other kids see. So he hopped right up. I was like, there's no broken leg or arm or anything. But I felt so bad for him because he just, ate it so bad. But here's my point. I just sometimes, and I almost get choked up saying it, I have so many calls. Sorry, sometimes I have these calls with – I have so many calls. But sometimes I have calls with clients that I can see them just running out of their house, running full bore towards this American dream, this small business, this real estate project, whatever it is. And they're just running their little heart out, and my heart goes out for them, and I'm excited. But they're going so hard and fast, I can see them about ready to fall. And this is part of that same example. Sorry, it's a long tip, but I just want my clients to take their time, don't feel like you've got to conquer the world, hit the base hits, don't run out the front door, running down the sidewalk 100 miles an hour. Let's, you know, get your bearings, know what you're dealing with. Whew, man, I could just go on. I mean,
that's pretty hilarious.
It was sad. It was funny. My daughter was like, oh, you know, and she was so sad she didn't catch it on Snapchat, of course.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's the tragedy of it all. I think that's a great tip. I mean, you know, starting a business and being an entrepreneur, there's so much that goes into it. And I mean, I think we have that perspective and just talking to thousands of clients over the years from their legal and tax planning that we get a feel for this. And I think I love that. That's a good tip. It's a good tip. Yeah. All right. Now I got the legal tip. I'm going to play cleanup here with the baseball theme.
Ooh, okay.
The base is loaded, baby.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. So let's hit the legal tip here. And now this is a blog article I wrote a couple weeks ago. And a really important announcement came out from the IRS, which said the IRS, and this is, you know, them coming out here saying this, there's like, we do not approve investments. So if anyone is using the terms IRS approved or IRA approved, or you can invest in this. And it's even been people with their IRAs or personal money that have said, hey, you can invest in this investment. It's approved by the IRS. Or it's approved for IRAs, when the reality is the IRS does not approve of investments for you to make, particularly with your IRA. So their opinion essentially has been, be careful. don't invest in those investments. In fact, there's almost a worry that those people who say that are fraudulent operators, and the IRS is certainly concerned about them, and you know they might be getting someone showing up at their door. So stay away from those companies out there using those slogans, IRA approved or IRS approved. There's no such thing. Anyone marketing or using those terms, that's an indication they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand the rules, how to even operate their own business or offer investment opportunities to people. So just be careful out there. I wanted to get, you know, just a little consumer protection notice here, brought to you by the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
I love it. Great legal tip. And gosh, there's just so many scams out there nowadays. It's so hard. It's just a different world because, you know, 50 years ago, you might get held up on your way back to the car from the restaurant with a guy with a knife. But now it's, how can I get these people on the on their internet or on their website or on their social media and just get them to – the white-collar crime is so much more pervasive. Okay, Matt, I would love to jump into some of our topics that you – sorry. I want to jump into our topic of rental properties as rental properties and finding the right types of tenants. But I'd like to hit some of the little tips that you and I have from a kind of a tax and legal standpoint that might be helpful to many of you listening today before we bring out our guests who are mm-hmm. – and let me say this. Our guests today, I think we'll have one or two of the guys, are run a nationwide company on screening tenants. So they're going to give us a lot of helpful tips on how to find tenants, how to screen for them. We're really excited to get their insight because they're doing it every day, you know, mm-hmm. dealing with the type of tenant. But I still think from a tax and legal standpoint, Matt, you and I have some just tried and true tips that might be helpful for the average rental property owner. Matt, do you want to go first? Do you want to? I've been talking quite a bit today. I feel bad. What do you got?
So
take another swing at that base.
Yeah. Remember, tip one is, which we've already got on the table here, analyze your tenant as much as you analyzed your property. Spend as much time and take as much care analyzing your tenant as you do in analyzing your property. One of the other things I think that's really important as you're going out and leasing a property, you're in this landlord-tenant process, you own the property, is you want to have a good check-in, check-out method. And one of the big things, obviously, in a rental property is what condition is the tenant going to leave it when they move out? And I had this one client that had a rental property. It was like a fourplex type thing in a college town. And he rented one of the units out to a bunch of frat boy type guys. And they just trashed the place. I mean, they seriously trashed the place. And so this landlord, he goes, you know, he just kind of does it on his own. He's telling me the story after the fact. He goes into small claims court because he sued them for, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 of repairs that he had to make to the property. Now, his lease clearly said, you know, and we'll talk about things to have in your lease here. We'll give some tips there. But his lease clearly said that the tenants are responsible for any damage to the property. So he thought, slam dunk case. I pretty much just got to show up and I'm done. So he brings in all these pictures of how the property looks like trash and how there's, you know, holes in the walls and the carpet's a wreck and, you know, cabinet doors are halfway hanging off, you know. And he's showing this to the judge. He's presenting his case. He thinks he's crushing it. These college boy tenants show up and they're like, hey, the property was like that when we moved in. It was a total dump. The judge looks back at the landlord and says, well, do you have any evidence of the condition of the property before they moved in? Landlord's like, no. Like, do you have any pictures? Did you have them sign a check-in, check-out process? Do we have anything that they said the condition was, you know, in exceptional condition or was in good condition? Nope. Well, I can't find for you then. And the landlord ended up basically having to cover these costs himself, and the small claims judge found against him. So you want to have a good check-in, check-out method. The easiest is a simple form, one page it could be that says, you know, they go through the different rooms and different things in the home and just check off, this is in good condition, this is in good condition, this is in good condition. So you have something to fall back on if, you know, heaven forbid a tenant like this trashes the place and raises that defense.
I love it. Matt, excellent tip. And may I add an amendment to your bill, Senator from the state of Arizona? Okay, my My only addition to your tip is one word, video. Ooh. Video is so powerful. And I've used this myself several times in cases, helping clients kind of write a nasty letter. Rarely is there going to be a trial, people. But when you have video, you're able to video when they left what it looked like and when they got there what it looked like. And you want to just pull out your phone. Just walk around with your freaking phone and just video. Now, on this point, my tip, this is a great transition into my tip, is don't assume your property manager is doing this for you. Don't assume. Now, your property manager should be, but don't assume that they are. And I know many of you listening are like, Mark, why do I even worry about this? I let my manager do all this. Okay, well, you're putting a lot of faith in your manager. Now, I'm not saying don't do that, but you've got to have some oversight and checks and balances when it comes to your property management team. I've had clients more screwed up by the property manager than the tenants. We've even done several podcasts in the past titled How to Manage Your Property Manager. And some excellent guests that are property managers come on the show. Please go back in the history of our show and listen to that. But I would just add to Matt's point that on this check-in, check-out, please use video. And then my tip is, no matter what the case is, whether it's check-in or check-out, don't assume that your property manager would take the same care you are. Write them. Ask them, hey, can I see the check-in, check-out list you use when you put people in and out? Oh, can you upload the video that you took when they checked out? I'd like to see what my property looks like lately, you know, that sort of thing. Now, from a tax standpoint, if you can go visit during this process and take a tax write-off and go visit your rental property during times and take video, even while the tenant's there, better yet. So, now we could go on that one. Matt, you're up. What do you got?
Oh, I thought that was just an amendment to mine. Okay.
Well, the video was the amendment.
Oh, okay. Then the property manager one.
Property manager.
Oh, I see. Okay. One other thing I think is important and now let's get to the lease agreement. Okay. I want to give a tip or two just on the actual terms of the lease agreement is, who do we want to be the landlord on the lease? Your LLC. Okay. Remember, if for rental properties, we want to be owning these in the LLC. So who is going to be the landlord on the lease? Don't put your name on there. I see that a lot, even with some clients that have LLCs. They don't get their LLC name on there. Now, sometimes if you have a property manager, the property manager will actually be the landlord on the lease. So now even for me, I mean, I have rentals that are managed by a property manager. I have some that I just manage myself. So I've kind of had to deal with this just personally on my own level. But for those of you that are managing your own rentals, you don't have a property manager, and you have an LLC, make sure the LLC is the party on the lease. We need that for asset protection purposes. I don't want you personally responsible to be the party leasing it. So step one, when drawing up the lease, make sure you know who the landlord is. It's your LLC if you have one.
I like it. Now, here's another important tip about your lease, which we could talk about lease agreements for a whole hour, as many of you know. We'll just knock out a couple more, then we'll get our guest on here. Is I'm going to quote the infamous Matt Sorensen, who has said before that a good agreement makes a good deal better, but a bad agreement makes a good deal bad. Mm. And you may have a great rental. You may have a great property. You may have the perfect tenant. But if you have a crappy lease, it could screw up the whole property. Now, Matt, I know you may want to amend that quote because you've said it in different ways before, but a bad agreement makes a good deal bad. Is that fair to say? How would you say that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I mean, and exactly how you said it, I think we see this a lot in so many different contexts that people just scratch out the really raw terms or they do very, very little in their actual contract, despite the fact that they talk about a lot of things. And that's probably the one biggest mistake I see in how someone ends up with a bad contract is, you know, as landlord, you may be talking to your tenant, you may be negotiating things and, you know, but you kind of don't put that in the actual lease. You talk about things and you think you have some understanding on some things. Let me give just a couple examples. I've seen these. I haven't made one of these myself. I had this a rental property where I, you know, the section about maintenance of the property was a little, you know, wasn't very tight as it should have been. And so I thought, okay, all maintenance of the property, and I was specific about the yard, you know, the interior of the home and all that, that's all the responsibility of the tenant. But we never said anything about the pool. Now, for me, I'm like, well, the pool's in the yard, and we've kind of said maintenance is tenant's responsibility. So, but who's supposed to take care of the pool? Well, then the tenant doesn't. And they said, well, I'm not paying to take care of the pool. Well, I don't want the pool to go to crap. It's got a pool in the backyard. And this is Arizona. You know, this is very common for rentals in Arizona. So now I'm paying $100 a month to have the pool maintenance done. Okay, and that's $1,200 a year that I'm basically shelling out to have the pool maintained. Because I made a mistake and I got a bad contract term here. And that's costing me because I made that mistake. Despite the fact that we are very clear verbally about, you know, maintenance and all that. So the things you discuss and what you've agreed to, you gotta be clear on those items in the lease itself so you don't end up with a bad term or a bad contract itself.
And again, this goes back to some of you I know are going, oh, my property manager takes care of that. Again, your property manager may not be looking out for every little thing. And so I just want to add that caveat again. You guys have got to get a copy of that, even if you have a property manager, so you know what you're in for. And last tip, and then we'll bring out our guests, is, and it's right on this lease agreement point too, is, and I couldn't make it through a show without quoting a movie. So I've got to quote Jerry Maguire and his, you know, as he was trying to help out Cuba Gooding Jr. in his negotiations, he was saying, Cuba, you know, help me help you. Help me help you. And he makes this dramatic, you know, appeal to his client that I can't do your job for you. You've got to help me out here. And as lawyers, if you call me to write a nasty letter on a lease agreement, I've got to have documentation. I got to have video. I got to have a history. I got to have a story. I got to have something to use here. Just last week, I wrote a nasty letter with a 3-day notice eviction letter to a local client here. I get sucked into this stuff. You know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And I hate writing, you know, eviction letters and stuff. And but of course, a local client tracks me down and says, "Hey, Mark, you got to write this letter for me." I'm like, "Oh, this is not in my wheelhouse." I'll watch Law and Order tonight, I guess. So, watch Law and Order. Got totally geared up on this eviction, and but luckily, my client had a really tight lease, and I said, "Give me the lease agreement, okay?" And what did the tenant do wrong? Okay, boom, boom, boom. My 3-day eviction was right on point, and it was tight. I was really happy about that. So anyway, help your attorney help mm-hmm. you in a good lease agreement, understand your lease agreement. You should know what better than anyone else, not your property manager, not your lawyer. You should know what's in your lease agreement. So.
Yeah, let me give a contrasting example to that. So I had a client, he's a business owner client, you know, self-employed, and he was moving. And so he decided, oh, I'm just going to rent out my house when I move. You know, he wanted to keep it. And thought, well, that's a great way to just kind of, you know, pick up a rental, just rent out my house. So he finds someone that he kind of knew, a friend of his that knew a friend that was looking for a home in that neighborhood. And so they just rented it to him. So this friend of mine calls me and he says, hey, I've got to evict this guy. I rented my home to him when I moved out. And I said to him, all right, what was your lease? And he's kind of going over the terms of the lease. He pays this much a month. That's for, you know, it was for 6 months, but we were going to do another 6 months, you know, if the first 6 months went well. We were just going to both re-agree. And I'm like, all right, so send me over a copy of it. Well, I don't have a copy of it. I'm like, did you put this on paper? No. I'm like, this is a client I've worked with for years, so I could, you know, laugh and joke with them. I'm like, you're killing me, man. I'm like, you are screwed. Think about this. I just want you to understand. As a landlord, that's your responsibility to really get this done. That lease is protecting you, okay?
Yeah.
And it's ensuring your interest. If we need to evict this guy, he's going to show up in court. They can say anything that he wants. We don't have any agreement to enforce it. And from the landlord tenant laws are very tenant favorable. So, yeah. It was a tough situation because now when he wants to evict this person, I mean, he's got a major uphill battle in doing this and missing out many, many months of rent that would otherwise be collected, and obviously having to go through more legal expenses than he'd like to. So that's the counterpoint there of someone who didn't do it. And, you know, he fell into this trap of trying to do a lot of things. He's moving himself, busy business owner, not taking care of the details, didn't want to get a property manager involved because he's already found a tenant, so why do I need one? And then, of course, in talking to the tenant, it's like, we'll get it done. We'll get a lease when you're in there. Well, once he's in there 2 weeks already, that guy's not motivated to get a lease done either. He's smart. And, you know, then they end up in this situation. So,
yeah, it's classic cutting corners. He probably went to LegalZoom, too. So
he didn't even do that.
Jeez. Okay. Well, okay. Well, I could just keep talking about this, but we've got some experts that are better than us. So let's bring out our experts here and talk about screening tenants. Well, okay. Well, as I said, it's my honor to introduce our guests today. So excited to have Steve White and Eric Worrell with us, both with the nationwide company Rent Prep. Many of you that have been in the real estate industry have heard of them or seen their website or been referred to them. They screen tenants. That's their forte. That's what they know. They're experts at it. You don't want to listen to Matt and I about this crap. We'll try to keep you out of trouble on your lease agreement or in court. But who's going to trash your rental next? That's what we don't want to see happen. So we're going to talk to these guys today. Now, Rent Prep's been around 15 plus years. I need to back up. Steve's been in the screening business for 15 years. They founded Rent Prep in 2007. Eric, also a landlord, both of them own rentals there, and they manage their own properties as well as thousands of rental properties around the country. Eric is his marketing guru, and I say that with the best of compliments because I love marketing, and he does a great job helping Rent Prep get out there on people's minds, and has some great videos on YouTube. Knows his stuff around the internet. So Steve and Eric are both just mountains in this industry, and so we're excited to have them here. So Steve, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us on, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, well, we got two teams here tag teaming in on this, so let's see how it goes. Let me ask you, Steve, I mean, why did you find a need to start this business, you know, tenant screening? I mean, what drove you to get into this? Why is it important for people? How'd you see the business opportunity?
So I was in the credit industry, and we were working more in the collection industry. Mm-hmm. And we had a client that was a very large property management company managing about 1,000 doors. And they came to us and said, hey, we know that you've got access to a lot of data, a lot of information, and we hate the screening company that we're working with because we're just getting this sort of automated instant solution that has a ton of inaccuracies. Mm-hmm. We run somebody with the name John Smith, and we don't know if it's the real John Smith, our John Smith, who it is, and there's got to be a better way to do it. And so we took on our first client basically based on their exact needs, and we built the entire company backwards from the ground up on what property management companies were looking for. And we really found a way to perfect it. Did a lot of the extra legwork that is involved in screening that a lot of companies weren't doing at the time. And then we went to our first landlord association meeting, gave a presentation. So many individual landlords came up to us and said, we want you to do our screening. And we said, well, we don't do it for landlords, sorry. And then we finally said, okay, that's crazy. We should come up with a product for landlords. And so we built Rent Prep based on the idea that landlords should have access to the same high level quality service that these really large property management companies are getting.
Oh, I love it. Now, I do have three daughters, and I want to talk about boyfriend screening.
Yeah.
And
we get a lot of that.
Can
we
you
really
help
do.
There? Do I need to have them sign an application or what?
Oh, that's the whole reason for our disclosures. Yeah.
The shotgun application, it's called.
Yeah.
I'm starting right now. Now, you know what's interesting is I think the average person thinks, oh, well, you're going to run their credit. But it's far more than that.
Sure.
And so tell us what some of the things you do in a screening. I don't know if, Eric, you're out creating a lot of these products. I don't know if that question's more for you or Steve on what's included in a screening.
Yeah, well, I do more of the marketing aspect of it and connecting our community of landlords. And the fun part of my job is getting landlords to talk to each other in our different resources. So I'm unfortunately going to pass it to Steve.
Well, I'll tell you this. The best example I can give you, okay, is the National Eviction Database, right? This is what a lot of screening companies rely on to gather their eviction data. And what we know from the National Eviction Database is that it really is only finding about 50% of the evictions that are out there. And the reason is because according to the court system, and which is basically sharing this information to the database, it's only reporting about half of the evictions that are filed because it's only considering an eviction to be an eviction once it's gone through the entire process. Once that person's removed from the property and the eviction is finalized, and there's a final dollar amount attached to that eviction, so the eviction results in a final judgment. But what about all those evictions that don't result in that final that judgment? What about the evictions that are just the forcible entry and detainers that need to be filed because the person didn't pay their rent? So that was, for us, the biggest opportunity to come in and say we could do a better job than just what these instant screening companies are providing, because we can search manually through court records and look through this stuff and go beyond just what the National Eviction Database is doing. So really our approach is using a human element, which is so counterintuitive to the times that we live in, right? Everything is based on instant gratification. And so many screening companies out there are touting that they're instant results and get your results back immediately. That's not great. That's not a good thing. So what we say is, listen, there needs to be someone behind the curtain, right? There needs to be that Wizard of Oz that's directing things and looking and finding stuff and using a trained mind to know what they're looking for. And so that's really the whole point and purpose of Rent Prep, is to use a trained screener to look for this information and go deeper than just what the databases are scraping off the top.
Yeah, and I presume that person within Rent Prep, I mean, this is what they do all day long. They have all the tools and resources to do this versus Matt Sorensen, landlord here. You know, I have rental properties that I own personally and I manage, you know, I should say I don't own personally. I have them in my LLCs, of course, but that I manage personally. And then I have some I have property managers for. But I don't have I have very limited resources to do a good tenant screening, and I frankly don't think my property manager has the right resources to do a proper tenant screening. So, I mean, that's what that human element you're talking about, I guess, is this is someone, they just do this all day and have tremendous resources to do that screening process. Is that, am I understanding that right?
They're trained, they're FCRA trained. Mm-hmm. So they know the business. This is all they do day in, day out. Yeah. And we're looking farther than what you can look on your own. There's no doubt you can go to your local court and do an eviction search. You know what I mean? You could go there and search records, but how do you know that person's not coming from the county over or the next state over or across the country? We live in a time where people don't live in one area anymore. So if you're searching just in one area, you're missing a huge number of records that are potentially out there. So our screeners are trained to look on a nationwide level and to look bigger than just within that own, your own native county that you're in. You have to have a professional on your side looking and doing that work for you, for sure.
Okay. Let me just ask this question. What do you think that landlords, even smart landlords or smart property management companies, what are they doing wrong? What do you see some of the things that people are just doing wrong in this tenant screening process? Any tips for people out there? It's like, God, if one more person's doing this thing wrong, or, you know, what is the stuff that kills you out there in tenant screening?
Well, I think the whole tenant screening process is exactly that. It's a process where people kind of walk through it. And one of the cool things about the Facebook group we have is we have like 4,100 landlords that kind of comment in and chime in on all these different things. And some of the answers that they give are amazing and like perfect. And some of them aren't quite as good. So we've gotten a lot of insights from listening to them. And probably one of the first things is when people are actually marketing their property, right? the society we live in, we're a Twitter society. Everything's, you know, got to be so many characters or less, and it needs to be instant. I need information right away. So it's great, but the way that people look for rental listings has kind of changed from 10 years ago to 20 years ago. And now people are kind of just buzzing through Zillow or their different services, and they're looking at pictures, looking at the price, and they're contacting you and saying, hey, I'm interested. So one of the things that I've noticed is that the picture quality for rental listings is so key to how landlords attract leads in. Because right now, if you have a lot of leads, it's your tenant screening pool. The larger and deeper the pool is, the better chances are that you're going to get a good tenant. If you're choosing between the best of two tenants or two tenant applicants, I should say, the chances of you getting a good tenant in your rental property are very low. So you want to make sure that you have a lot of people that are applying for your rental property. So the best thing that you can, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's a really interesting tip. I didn't expect that. Matt and I kind of sometimes in our interviews kind of, you know what to expect in some answers. And that is really insightful, that one of the biggest problems you're seeing with landlords, let me restate it as a layperson, you know, not screening every day, is that the biggest problem you're seeing out there is landlords not choosing from a bigger pool of applicants, which by definition, the bigger pool, the better applicant you're going to have rise to the top. And that is really a great tip. I like that.
Think about it this way. If you have two applicants applying, you're really choosing the least worst, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you're just choosing which one doesn't look as bad. But if you have a good selection pool, and we always say 10's the magic number, at least. You know, you may get 30, 50, who knows how many apply, but how many are actually qualified? And if you've got 10 qualified applicants, you're going to be able to make a really good decision on who you feel is the best fit for that property.
Man, I'm just going to use the analogy of suitors, and I'm going to be talking to my college daughters here and talk about the bigger suitor pool they need. This is really good. There's a huge parallel for me right now. I'm loving the show. Okay, now I want.
That's great.
Now, Steve, when you were going through, I want to go back to this screening process, because it was really kind of like, wow, you're doing that much work. It sounds expensive to me. I mean, that sounds like a lot of work. What am I looking at as a landlord paying for this type of service if I want to get a better tenant?
I'll tell you this, from a business perspective, we are sorely undervaluing our service, because we've got to compete with everyone else that's out there. And so you'll do a lot of searches and you'll find people saying, rent prep's the most expensive. Not necessarily true. For what you get, I mean, you can't compare it. So our most expensive product is $34.95, and that means a screener is actually making phone calls on your behalf. So we're not only trusting the databases, we're not saying, yeah, the databases are going to give you everything. We know that there's things that you can't find on a database. No database in the world is going to tell you if that person has received neighbor complaints or noise complaints, or when they cook something, every other tenant complains about it. No database can tell you that. No credit report is going to tell you that. So we're making phone calls to current landlords, previous landlords, employers to verify their employment. And I think that's key. Those are things you can't leave out of a screening process. You can't just trust 100% data. You have to talk to people. You have to find out how these people are and speak to another human being that can tell you firsthand, I've been renting to them for a year.
Yeah.
They're a nightmare. Or, I've been renting for a year and they're great.
Well, and I have to say, I'm your biggest advocate, because if I can spend a few hundred bucks up front, and Matt even said this before you guys came on the show, of how important taking the same amount of time to find a good rental, you should be taking that same amount of time to find the good tenant, because they're going to be the one writing you a check every month or beating the crap out of your property. So I'm a huge advocate of what you're doing, to spend a few hundred dollars up front, bare minimum, to get the right tenant that could pay huge dividends in the long run or avoid huge costs. So let me just say, if I've got 10 tenants that I'm looking at, I'm looking at around $300 or $400 to have you go through those 10 tenants and tell me which one's best. Is that a fair assessment?
If you want to screen 10 tenants, what I typically see is out of 10 tenants, out of 10 qualified people, just based on the applications, you're going to be able to see which ones really float to the top, right? Which ones they may disqualify themselves by an answer they gave on the application. They may make the fatal mistake of not completing the application in full, which we obviously recommend all landlords have a no blank space policy. It's so important to make sure that every piece of information is filled out. If it's left blank, it's typically left blank for a reason, what we found. So,
true.
You know,
red flag.
So if you absolutely. So if you're getting a good number of applications in, you're going to have a good feeling of which ones are going to float to the top. So really, I don't think a lot of landlords are screening 10 tenants per unit. I think realistically, they're screening 3 or 4 and they're seeing which ones out of those 3 or 4 float to the top. Which ones can they use the formula of 2 parts data, mm-hmm. 1 part gut feeling. If the data checks are out, go with the gut feeling. Which ones did you have the best feeling about? I don't think that can be, you know, forgotten about or undervalued. There is a gut element to this as well.
That's a good way to analyze that. And I think, you know, spend some money on some limited amount of screening applications and just kind of double check what you're.
I like that. Two parts this, 1 part that. Where's the spoonful of sugar come in? Where's the recipe on this thing? I love it.
Yeah, is that included? Yeah. All right. I love, by the way, there's another great little comment in there about the blank space. You know, this is a lot, I think, when you get those applications and there is that blank space in the, have you been foreclosed on before? You know, have you filed bankruptcy? Are you employed? Who was your last landlord? You know, blank spots in those boxes or those sections. That's like, you know, some guy going before Congress and saying, I'm pleading the fifth, you know, I'm not saying nothing about anything that happened. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't want to incriminate myself. So
no doubt.
So that's a great tip, by the way. I just wanted to draw that out. Let me ask you this. This is an issue I face in the tenant screening process. You know, I just investing in real estate myself, and I see clients in this too. I'm trying to balance this issue, and Mark made this comment earlier of, I want to spend the time to find the right tenant. You know, I spent all this time finding the property, and I've analyzed the heck out of it, and I've ran spreadsheets and all this on the property and how it's going to cash flow and all this. But now I'm getting to the tenant situation. I own the property, and I'm stressing out because I have a month without rent. But I've got someone that I think is good and maybe, you know, I mean, but do I wait another couple of weeks and miss out on opportunity to collect rent to get more tenants or more applications? How do you balance that? And what do you say in that process? How long should I be taking, I guess, is my question, to find a good tenant when I may have a property, you know, vacant?
The quick and easy answer is as long as it takes. You will no doubt appreciate a month's worth of missed rent versus 2-3 months, however long it takes to get rid of a bad tenant through the eviction process.
Oh, yeah.
So take that time ahead of time. You know, we always say here, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You have to take that time in the beginning to make sure you're not inviting a problem into your life. And it may not always just be based on not paying rent. Maybe this person's just a nightmare to deal with. Maybe they're super passive aggressive. Maybe they call you because every light bulb that needs to be changed, or who knows. You know, these are things that can be identified in the screening process for sure. So I think for landlords, a couple of things that you can do to make your life a lot easier. Number one, know what your criteria is ahead of time. Don't go into this, run the reports, and then try to make a decision. Go into it by running the reports and looking at your criteria and being able to quantify everything and say, do they hit this mark? Do they hit that mark? You know, are they in line with what I'm looking for? And that's going to make your screening process that much easier with a lot less thought per report that you're looking at. I think for a lot of landlords, that's what we see them really struggling with, is they're going into it not necessarily knowing ahead of time what they're looking for. And they run a report, they're looking at it, maybe they're looking at 2 or 3 at a time, and they're saying, well, I don't know. I mean, they all look kind of good. Mm-hmm. But if you know what your expectations are ahead of time, you'll be able to go right down the list and check it off. Do they have criminal records? Yes or no. Do they have evictions? Yes or no. Bankruptcies, judgments, liens, all these things that you can quantify and say, do they have it? Yes or no. And then at the end, if they hit your criteria and they meet everything, it's what we were talking about with that gut feeling. How do they feel? Did you have a great conversation with them? When you showed them the apartment, did they seem like somebody that you're going to get along with, or are they going to drive you nuts with every little thing?
Yeah. I love, again, that you're emphasizing that gut check, because it's really a combination between the two, the facts and the gut, and making sure it makes sense in the head and the stomach with any tenant. I've got to say, again, your website is phenomenal, too. And for those that missed it early on, this is rentprep.com. Our founder that we're talking to, Steve White, and his right-hand guy for the marketing. And Eric, I'm so impressed with your Facebook page and everything you're doing with marketing to help connect these landlords, because it's about a community. You're part of a community when you're a landlord. And the sooner you figure out that, the better. And you guys do a great job of that. I do have to say, I went to your website and looked at the legal resources. We're going to help you beef that up.
We try not to, dabble in those waters too much. So, we'll probably have a conversation with you after the podcast.
Yeah, we'll throw you a lifeline. Yeah, we got something there. But I do. It's a great website. Lots of resources. I'm so impressed. And frankly, as a landlord, I think a lot of us just put our heads down. And Matt said this again. I'm going to reemphasize this again. Earlier in the show, he pointed out how much time clients take to find the right rental and then just shoot from the hip on the tenant or hire a property manager that sucks. And I guess that's one of my last questions here, too, is that I had is, what advice do you give to the landlord that may be using a property manager that says, oh, you don't need rent prep. We do it all here for you. You know, you probably heard that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we actually work with a lot of property managers who run their background checks through rent prep. In our private Facebook group, Rent Prep for Landlords, we connect with a local landlord. His name is Andrew Schultz, real knowledgeable guy. And he uses us for all his tenant screening. And it's one of those things where if you're using our service, it's going to help you whether you are a landlord with one unit or you have 50 units and a property manager is running it for you. The biggest thing, you're kind of mentioned the resources on our site and the different things that we offer. It's kind of counterintuitive, but if I'm being honest, like our part of the process running a background check is 10% of the process of finding a good tenant. It's really the thing that drives the nail in the coffin for somebody where they're like, yes, this is the guy, or no, this isn't the guy. Up to that point, there's an entire process that goes into it of finding the right tenant. And sometimes it's as simple as when you're screening your tenants and you think you got a good guy or girl that's going to come out and look at your property. When you walk them out to their car after you've shown them your rental property, you look in their car and their car is a disaster. If their car is a disaster, that's a pretty good inclination of how they're going to treat your rental property. So those are things that you start making notes of through the screening process. And that has nothing to do with rent prep or running a background check through us. Frankly, we don't want to run your background check for a applicant that's not a great applicant for you. We want to run your background check for those 2-3 applicants that really are the cream that rose to the top during the process. So that's kind of why we exist, is we do run the background checks, but what we try to do is we try to educate and create resources and community for landlords as much as possible so we can educate them on how not to use us too early in the process, how to spot things and tells that, this tenant applicant might have throughout the process that, they may just have a red flag that pops up and you go, you know what, that's not the right person for this rental. And I've got a standardized criteria for this rental. And I already realized that this person's not going to work out.
Fantastic.
God, this was awesome, guys. I really appreciate it. I was just going to ask, what stuff should I be doing before I get to this tenant screening process and before
and you just come to rep?
And you just answered it. So
done
this before.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming here. Do you guys have any resources on your website for people, to help them in the tenant screening process? Any place you want to send people to kind of learn more? I know you guys have a podcast yourself. Let us know where people can learn more about this.
I would say one of the best things, if you are getting to that point where you have a tenancy that's ending and you're thinking about, like, I need to get a better tenant the next time, is if you go to our website, rentprep.com, and you go to landlord resources, you can find a link to a tenant screening course that we have on udemy.com. Are you guys familiar with that website?
Yeah.
So the course on there is 100% free. And we walk you through from A to Z exactly how to screen tenants. And like I said, it's that whole, we call it the tenant screening funnel. It's about getting as many leads in at the top as you can and then walking people down that funnel so that when you're getting to the background check portion, you're screening 2-3 applicants. You're not looking at 20 people by that point because you've walked through all the steps in the process. So that'd probably be one of the best resources I'd recommend for somebody. If they go to Udemy and search tenant screening, we'll be the number one rated course on there with a couple thousand students. It is free after all, so we do get a lot of students. But That's probably one of the best resources I'd recommend to somebody before they would actually try to reach out to Rent Prep to run background checks, because we don't want to waste people's money.
And what's the podcast, by the way?
Yeah, what's your podcast? We know it. We want our listeners to know it. Sorry.
Yeah, Rent Prep for Landlords. And we're close to 200 episodes, and it's really just trying to get our finger on the pulse as best as possible, talking to anybody that you can imagine, somebody from like you guys who are setting up LLCs to landlords who are dealing with this stuff day in and day out and hearing their stories and hearing what works best for them. I think in, you know, Rent Prep, we've got over 30,000 clients. We've learned a thing or two about what works and what doesn't. And so it's all about sharing for the betterment of landlords. You know, we see the power of what landlord associations or real estate associations can do. And so what we're trying to do is really just bring this on a much larger scale to say, hey, there's a lot of learning to do from people who have been there, done it, and are doing it well.
Love it. You all fantastic. Gentlemen, thanks again for coming out, and we hope to have you back. And rentprep.com, folks, get out there. It's packed with info. Thanks again for being with us here on another episode of Refresh Your Wealth. We hope that we just refreshed it a little bit with some ways to build your wealth better. That's the point. And so we're grateful you're here. Please get to the podcast page on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Take a quick screenshot of that. Send it to us, and we'll send you a free copy of my book or Matt's if you really want it. And we will hook you up. So please, folks, continue to follow us, share us with your friends and family. And thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.